As a Christian leader, do you ever wonder what God thinks about your business? Do you ever feel like your operations align more with the world than with the Bible? If you do, there is probably a reason, because God does provide direction for business, which if you don't follow, will result in that unsettled feeling in your heart. If you are a Christian leader or business owner and are looking to go deeper in your walk with God and integrate your faith and business, I have a resource designed especially for you. It's called What God Says About Business: 5 Uncommon Truths for the Modern Business. When people talk about running a Christian business, they usually talk about leading with integrity, honesty, transparency, loving people, and praying about decisions. Those are great, but living life with God goes much deeper than that. In this free e-booklet, we explain 5 foundational truths that challenge the world's way of doing business. It will give you simple, practical, and biblical steps to both deepen your walk with God and build a thriving business in a way that honors God. If you are ready for a new perspective on business, then this free e-booklet is for you. Download it now and find out what God says about business. Check out the show notes for more information. Hi, I'm David Schmidt, theologian, engineer, dad, and coach who has traveled over 5 decades through hardships and success, but remained steadfast and persevered through it all with God as my protector and guide. I created the Redeeming Business Today podcast to inspire, equip, and motivate others to take God at His word and to trust Him, to commit their plans to Him, and to delight in His ways. Business success is a combination of hard work and the blessing of God. It is not one or the other, it's both. If you are passionate about God and business and how those two align in a practical, tangible, and dynamic way, you're in the right place, my friend. Let's get started. So, my friends, if you follow business development, you may have noticed increase in popularity of AI. Well, it doesn't necessarily make it good or bad, but we're going to talk about AI today and what it is and how we can use it responsibly in our business. And I brought Matt Koenig today on, who has been involved in this automotive space for a while now, been in automotive for about 30 years and now with AI a number of years. He's also recently been led to plant a church. And so in the midst of that, he's a dual worker, kind of like Paul was as a tent maker. So, hey, Matt, welcome to Redeeming Business Today and great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much, David. It's great to be on the show with you, man. I'm excited to talk about AI and business and everything else today, brother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, so Matt, this is a Christian podcast and I like to challenge our listeners. Before we get started, what is one way you believe that we can honor God in our business that other people may not know about?
Ooh, I don't know that it's not that it's going to be something other people don't know about, but I think the best way that we can honor God in our business is to do good business. I see a lot of folks, a lot of us that are Christians that like to lead by saying, "Hey, I'm a Christian business," and it's like there's nothing that makes a business Christian. I would prefer to lead with the fact that I'm somebody who's going to operate in integrity. And if they ask why we do what we do, it's because we follow Jesus in this example. So, yeah, I just think if we do business well and we really take care of our customers well, then we're showing the example that Christ taught us.
Very good. It's acting out what you're saying. Yes, very much so.
Absolutely.
Very good. Matt, take a few minutes to tell our audience your journey and how God has moved you away from the automotive world and now into more specifically AI and what you're doing there.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great one. So, the funny part is before knowing God, 30 years ago, I stumbled into the automotive industry, and this is probably going to shock a lot of people that are listening, but, I was a little skater kid that was 18 years old and I was making some pretty bad life choices. I had a kid on the way and I was a kid. And I was like, oh gosh, I need a job. And my dad, who I got a lot of very bad life examples from back then, had a buddy of his that he drank with and partied with, who was a finance manager at a car dealer. And one day that guy happened to be over at our place. And my dad said, "Hey, Russ, can you get my kid a job?" And Russ goes, "Sure, show up Monday for an interview." And I went, "Wow. Okay." So I thought, all right, I'm going to learn how to clean cars, because I had no skills. I was an introvert with no discernible skills. My dad was like, Russ was like, "You know, make sure you dress nice, wear a shirt and tie." And I'm like, "Okay, I have none of that." And we were pretty poor. We lived below the poverty line my whole childhood. So here I am, 18, no money. So we go to the thrift store, the Goodwill, or whatever it was called back in 94. And I buy a pair of slacks. I'm a little chubby kid, so they're too long. So I roll them up, buy a shirt, a tie that I didn't know how to tie right. So it was tied too long. And some shoes that were dress shoes, that were too big. And I show up on Monday and I realize I'm interviewing for a job selling cars. And I was like, oh no, I don't know how to sell anything. Like, oh, so thankfully they made a hiring mistake. And I realized back then they would hire a handful of people. They would do the spaghetti method, right? You hire five, throw it against the wall, see who's stuck. I didn't stick. I lasted 2 months and got fired. But then my son had been born. I was like, oh, goodness, like nothing pays as well. Like I didn't do good, but even doing bad, I made more money than I would have made working, you know, for $5 an hour at a drive through. So another dealer made a hiring mistake and hired me. And I didn't get any training. And they were like, we don't like to fire people before Christmas. So you're here till the end of the year. Just don't come back after New Year's. So as you can imagine, now at that point, I had just turned 19. I'm driving home crying, right? I'm like, I've got a baby to support. We're broke, and I'm fired again. And so thankfully, another dealership, they put me through 8 hours of interviews in 2 days, and they hired me to be a salesperson. They actually trained me well with integrity. Here's how you take care of a customer. Here's how you serve them. Here's how you follow up. So that's where I really got my start in the industry. Fast forward time, I had an automotive group who believed enough in me to train me to be in a leadership role. So they spent tens of thousands of dollars to teach me how to be a professional sales trainer, professional sales management, leadership. And so I got to work with that automotive group for a number of years. I got recruited by their biggest competitor later, which was an absolute blessing. And then fast forward time, I had kids and didn't want to live in the dealership world. So I ended up going to work for some automotive vendors. Cars.com was my first step out of the dealership. Yeah, when they first came out, nobody knew about them in Michigan where I was. So I sold their product to automotive dealers, and we were able to really grow that market well. And then I became their national sales training manager for years. And from there, if you've ever went to Edmunds.com to look up a car's value or shop for a car, I actually launched the program for Edmunds.com to allow people to shop for cars on their site from automotive teams.
Wow. Neat.
So I loved what I noticed was a pattern of in the dealership world, a lot of what I did was help people learn how to communicate better with their customers. When I got onto the vendor side of the business, I realized I was helping dealers communicate better with customers still. Like, here's how you merchandise better. Here's how you communicate better when you get emails and phone calls. So my training background played really well into that. And then in 2012, I started looking at some of the biggest complaints that they were having about getting new client acquisition. And I started a company that helped automotive dealers generate opportunities through text messaging. And it took off like wildfire. And from there, I launched the first ever Spanish automotive classified site in the United States where people could shop for cars in Spanish. And then as we just saw things evolving, we were putting on events, conferences. And then a few years back when everybody started getting all excited about ChatGPT, we started looking into artificial intelligence and saying, how can this be useful and what are the dangers of it? And sure. I'm one of the first people that'll say this. When it first came out, everyone jumped on the bandwagon to sell it. And I went, bad idea. It's not ready to trust your clients to yet. And this was a couple of years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago. I said, automation is good to handle monotonous tasks or repetitive tasks, but golly, don't trust your livelihood to a machine yet. Like it's going to do you wrong. And knock on wood, we were right. And early on, it was a lot of companies made a bad choice to go the AI route. And thankfully, I'm an Apple person through and through. My wife will tell you, iPad, iPhone, we're on a Mac Mini now. The webcam is another iPhone. So I'm an Apple guy through and through. And I love the way that they take their time to do things well. So when it came to artificial intelligence, I said, I'm going to follow the Apple model and the Tesla model, and we're not going to rush anything. And there could be 100 competitors that are faster to market, but what we're going to do is learn from their failures as we craft things that are smoother. And by the grace of God, we've been pretty fortunate. He's blessed us with some really cool customers, and we've been growing steadily. That's how I came from automotive to AI. It was, I guess I skipped one piece, which is I also still do training with automotive dealers. I do sales meetings 40 to 50 a month. And one of the things that I noticed, and this is what really sparked things with AI, was we were running into the same issues over and over. My salespeople struggle to respond to email leads or messages through Facebook or through our website. And dealers were saying, my salespeople struggle on setting appointments over the phone. And I said, well, those are two problems that in the last 30 years, no one has solved. How can we solve these two problems? And so our foray into AI began with, how do we help them communicate better with leads that come through via text, via email, via form? And then once we got that pretty nailed, we said, okay, now how can we help them on the phone side? And yeah, so that's how we got from where I began, which was a bad hiring decision, to where we are.
Yeah. Yep. I understand. I mean, God works, and always wonder sometimes how he works, and yeah, it's fine. It's just how it is. So AI, in a nutshell, if you're trying to explain AI to somebody who just came to this century, what is it? What does it do for you?
Well, it could do a lot of things. So what I would say is this: artificial intelligence is basically taking a computer and allowing it to do some of the repetitive tasks for you and giving it some bandwidth of allowance of what you'll allow it to do without you. So a great example is this: artificial intelligence is like hiring a new employee and giving them training on certain issues you want them to handle. The difference between that and hiring a human employee is you can trust the artificial intelligence to follow the training 99% of the time. And I won't say 100, because AI is evolving. And I could tell you a funny story about how it happened to us, where we gave it a little too much trust. So AI, if somebody were new, I would say, hey, think of it like your robot, like hiring a robot to do the job of people. And it's consistent. That's really what it is.
Yeah. I hear you and a lot of other people talk about training the AI. What does that mean, training it?
It's a really good question, David, because most people don't understand this. They may have heard phrases like prompt engineering. That's a thing a lot of folks talk about, like, hey, you better learn how to become a prompt engineer because AI is taking over. What that, in human terms, is it's training it. So then we go, well, how do you train a robot? With a person, we have a conversation. We give them a set of exercises. Cool thing is you do the same thing with AI. So the difference is you type out the conversation, but you really have to give it a specific outline of how it's supposed to function. So I'll give it to you in the most basic terms that anybody listening could understand this thing. Think role, like what is your job? What is your goal? And what context do you operate within? So for example, if I'm creating AI for redeeming business today, first thing is I'm going to give this artificial intelligence being a name. Like for our church plant, if you were to go to our church website, localchurchgathering.com, we have AI on the site for our chatbot. We named him Adam because he was the first church AI, and he's probably going to screw it up. But we uploaded the entire NIV into it and we trained him. And so here's the training. He said, your name is Adam. You're a friendly artificial intelligence assistant for church, because our church is literally just called church because we are the church. So this is who you are. Okay. Your role is to answer questions for people and point them to the right scripture references, and to always respond in a friendly, enthusiastic way with basic English, right? So there's his role in a nutshell. It's a little different, but it's close. Then we said, here's what your goal is. Your goal is to get their name, their email, their phone number. Your goal is to find out what their question or concern is. Your goal is to give them information that will lead them to say, I want to learn more, right? So we break down, and it's longer than that, but we break it down and go, here's what the goal is. And then we say, here's the context of how you operate. Now, the context is where the training is really a lot more detail. So this is where we give an example of a conversational flow. So we put in like mock conversational info. This is where we give the artificial intelligence rules. So think about if you're hiring a person, you'd say, well, the rules are you're scheduled from 9 to 5. You can take a 1 hour lunch break between this time period. You have to clock in, clock out, right? These are your rules that you operate by. When you talk to someone, if they say this, you're going to respond in some manner with this. If they ask a question about this, you're always going to refer to this and then move to this. So we spend hours and hours and hours lining out, like, here are your rules that you must abide by. A lot of things with training, like, people miss are little minor things like this. Artificial intelligence doesn't leave room for making a fool of itself. So if it doesn't know an answer, it will often fabricate one. And people don't realize that. You could be talking to ChatGPT and say, hey, I looked at abcmotors.com website, like pick a car dealer's website, and say, how much is the 2022 Honda Accord? And they don't have a 2022 Honda Accord. AI will look on the internet at the average price of a 2022 Honda Accord and go, oh, great question. That one's $34,000. And it's like, there's not even one on their lot. Why did it do that? Well, it's because it wants to so badly accomplish its goal of giving you the info, it will make stuff up. It will lie. So we have to actually train it and tell it, you never hallucinate. You only operate within the parameters of this. You only respond with facts. You never fabricate information. Like, there are little phrases like that that you have to actually say to it. That with a person, we go, well, you're moral and ethical. So I don't have to tell you, David, don't lie.
Okay. So you basically have to tell it, don't make something up, in order for it not to make something up. Can you just say, hey, if you don't know the answer, say, I don't know, I'll get back to you? I mean, is that a response you can program in then?
Yeah. So usually what we do, though, is we want it to then take another action, right? So if it says, I don't know, let me get back to you, AI is not going to pick up a phone and call them in 3 hours. So like with ours, when we have something outside of the parameters of the training, then we might say, if there's anything that you don't know the answer to, what you'll do is you'll respond by saying, that's a great question. I'm going to have someone from the team reach back out to you. But then we trigger a series of events. So then our artificial intelligence knows it needs to trigger a notification to me, for example. And so I'll get an email saying, hey, Matt, take over this conversation. And when I click it, it pulls me into the system and I can pick up right where the AI left off immediately. Like within 90 seconds, I can jump in and get on it. And that's what our clients can do too. So it's funny, if we just say, if you don't have an answer, do this, it'll still do it, but it'll make up an answer. So you have to be very direct and say, you will not do this. And a lot of people don't realize that with AI. And then they wonder, they think, well, this stinks, or this isn't working right, or what's wrong with it? And it's like, nothing's wrong with it. Just nobody taught you how to train it. I don't know if you have pets. Do you have dogs? Or you?
We don't train them. Yeah.
Okay. So we have three. One of them is a 125-pound Great Dane. And we got him from friends of ours, a tattoo artist that was local, that they were moving out of state. And so he was already 4 years old when we got him. And they lived in a tiny home, and he was mostly outside. And in our house, we have a whole back half of the house the dogs can be in, and we have three of them. They have a dog door that goes in and out. Well, we had to train Pluto, our lovable little planet, on what he can and can't do in the house, because he had to learn, right? They always walked him. He's big. He's all muscle. So he had this big metal collar thing, you know, that looked like a gangster chain from a 90s rap video. And we're like, yeah, that's going away. But we had to train him to walk off leash, right? Which took me many, many weeks of Pluto and I walking with him on leash in a training collar that would beep and vibrate. And if he was nutty, zap a little. Thankfully, he's a really great guy, but it took me months to train him to understand, if I call his name in a certain tone, he needs to be by me. If I say the word next, I need him to circle up next to me. Like, there are certain things. With artificial intelligence, Tony Robbins said it best. He asked a question one time. I was at one of his events. He said, if you're trying to teach your parents in the room, if you're trying to teach your baby to walk, how many chances are you going to give it to walk before you just say, I quit?
Awesome.
As many as they're going to do it. You're going to keep standing them up and teach them, right? He's like, why do we give up on everything else? Artificial intelligence is the same way. You're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna train. You're gonna fix the mistakes. You're gonna train. Eventually, you get it to do what you want. Most people don't have that patience, and so that's why they hire companies like ours to do it.
And that's interesting, because I've talked to a number of people who use AI, and they're like, it took a year or so to get to do what I want to do, and all those things you're saying, that's what they're going through. Because if I would start today with a blank sheet of paper, I could come up with 20, maybe 50 questions, but I might need a couple hundred questions to really dial it in. For you, like if you're going to train an AI model for me, what's do you have like a number of questions or statements or things that, what does that look like?
That's in a volume? Question. So the first thing we do is we go, do you have a website? And you say yes. And our AI, we tell it to go look at your website and it will scrape every single page that's connected to your site. And it will gather that data. From that data, the AI is smart enough to go, what are some questions people would probably ask? Based on it goes and here's all these answers. What questions would lead to these answers? So it will come up with hundreds of possible FAQs. So there's the starting point. And then we say, hey, David, look through these and just, you know, highlight in red or delete any of them that you think are not valuable questions. Yep. So to remove those out, right? But then from there, we ask questions of our clients, you know, what in automotive, for example, we know like if a customer asks about financing or credit or payments, how do you want AI to respond, right? How would you want a person to respond? So with automotive, we pretty much know 95% of how they want stuff structured. It's just nuance. For like a business like yours, we would say, hey, what do you want this bot to accomplish? So if you were to look on our website, if you went to our rockstarinfo.com website, you'd see a chat bot in the corner. So I would say to you, if this chat bot were living on your website and a customer comes to Redeeming Business today, what is the goal of that chatbot? What do you want it to do for the person coming there? And you might, if your goal is, well, I want it to book an appointment for me to have a consultation call with them. Okay. So that's it. That's what its goal is to get this appointment booked. So then we ask you, what are people coming to you for? Like, what do you consult about? What does your business do for them? So we'll ask you questions about your business. And it doesn't require a ton, realistically, 15 or 20 questions. If you've ever played the game 20 questions, it's pretty much what it is. So we go through, we ask kind of like, tell us about your business. Tell us what the goal is. Tell us what you want to accomplish. If it can't accomplish the goal, what do you want it to do then? Do you want it to say, hey, is it okay if I text you a link to our booking calendar in case you change your mind? Like, how do you want it to respond after? How do you want it to communicate with you once the interaction is over? So we ask you some of those key things, and then we go in and we train it. And then we say, okay, here's a link. You test it. Go there like you're a brand new customer. Try and break it. Like, that's the first goal. Try and break your bot. And so you'll go through and ask it questions, and then you'll make notes of things that it doesn't handle the way that you want. You know, when I asked it this, or I asked it five questions really fast in a row, and it was like answering, you know, one after another. So we might say, okay, well, how about this? How about we set a 6-second delay? So that way, if a person asks two or three questions, it will answer them all in one response. So we ask you questions, we get it dialed in, and then we go, okay, now you try it and break it. And whatever doesn't work the way we want, then we do that.
We fix.
Yeah, but there's another, I heard someone
You're pretty much... Hang on. So you're pretty much, a lot of what you're doing is creating a chat bot for your website to answer all these questions. Is that primarily what you're talking about with all this?
One piece of our puzzle. We also handle things like on the back end. Like, so if someone went and filled out a lead form on anyone's site, or they sent a message through their Facebook page, our artificial intelligence can operate on their behalf there. Let's say you go to a website and you fill out a contact form and submit it. Our AI can actually respond to those emails for people. So it really is depends on what the customer wants it to handle. Most of our customers want us to handle any inbound leads that come in. So if someone's got an interest in a product, they want AI to try and close for an appointment. If someone goes in their chat widget and they have questions about the business, they want the AI to answer those questions that are, you know, redundant, that you answer 10 times a day. What are your business hours, right? So all that kind of stuff. And then the third thing we have a lot of requests for, and this is the newest, hottest thing, is AI receptionists. People, it's tough, but everyone has seen what's gone on in the economy the past few years. It's been tough. And even with the potential changes, we know it's going to get a little tougher for a minute. So a lot of folks are going, I'm a small business owner. I can't afford to hire a $15 an hour person to sit there hoping the phone will ring. But they can't figure out which part-time hours to do, because it's like, okay, if I only have someone work 2 hours a day, they're not going to work for me, because nobody can work for $30 a day. And yep. Then people look and they go, I don't want to outsource to like the Philippines or India. So with voice AI, which is the thing that we're getting the most question about from people, our voice AI sounds like a person. And if you were to go to our site and click on the voice AI demo, it rings a phone, you call, and you'll hear Samantha answer. And she'll say, thanks for calling Rockstar Designs. How can, you know, what can I get you info on? And you'll say, hey, I'm looking for whatever. And then she'll talk to you like a person. And then she'll say, hey, David, how about I pretend I work for you and I give you a quick demonstration? And she'll ask you a series of questions and you'll give her the feedback. And then she'll go, okay, demo's going to start now. And then she'll talk to you like she works for you. Hey, this is Sam at Redeeming Business Today. You know, how can I help? And you'll ask questions about your business that you just fed her. And then she'll reply like she works for you. And she'll try and set an appointment with you. Now, whether you say yes or no, that's where the demo comes to a close. And then she'll have a conversation with you about how you liked it or didn't like it. And her goal is to transfer you to somebody that will set an appointment to learn more. So if you say yes to her, she will transfer you to Alfred, who sounds like he's in Texas, but he's also not real. And Alfred will actually address you by name and say, hey, Dave, I see you just did a demo with Sam. Pretty cool, right? You say yes. He'll have a whole conversation with you to book you on my calendar. So when people call our company, I never answer the phone or talk to someone until our AI has worked them for an appointment. So that's kind of the hottest thing right now, because it starts at $300 a month. So most folks are like, $300 a month, I'm going to have a 24-hour day, 7-day a week receptionist that sets appointments for me? Okay, well, how do I start that thing?
Yeah, so yeah, that's absolutely.
That's the thing that folks are interested in, because it's $10 a day. So we get a lot of interest in that area.
Okay. And so for something like your chat, either one of your stuff, how long, what's your lead time to get that up and running? Like if I was going to hire you today, say I want something for my website chatbot, how long does that take for you to program?
Great question. So typically we always tell people, we always do the first 30 days free. The only thing that someone pays for isn't free is the voice AI, because there's very hard cost that comes with calling, buying phone numbers, setting up a business. But like when people are doing the web chat and everything else and lead handling, first 30 days is always free, and it starts after we have them set up. So we always say up and running within 14 days, but typically it's within 5 business days. I would just rather under promise and over deliver than go, hey, we can get you up and running in 3 days, and then boom, an emergency happens and it takes 4, and we're, you know, a liar. So we say 14 days, but typically it's done within 5 business days. And when I say done, I mean that's between us getting you set up and you doing all your testing. Is typically done inside of a business week. And then once it goes live, the 30-day trial begins. So I learned a long time ago, mostly from working with corporate stuff, where you sign people up and they, you know, agree to bills and contracts. And I learned in the corporate world, contracts, and I know that in some things they're very necessary, right? If you're building a multi-million dollar construction project, a contract is valuable. Mm-hmm. But when selling digital products and services, one of the things I realized is that most of the time when I saw people using contracts, it was that way. If they stopped taking care of the customer like they should, they still had X amount of time to win them back over. And it really just left a bad taste in my mouth. And even people that were like, oh, it's month to month with a 30-day out. And I was like, that's because when you get lazy and stop taking care of them and they go, I want to cancel, you've got 30 days to try and kiss their behind, try and get them to like you. And I just didn't care for that. So when I started doing this with AI, I made a commitment that, by the way, it's still very hard this day to do, because it's like, I bear all the risk. But what we always do that first 30 days free, because I say this to my clients, if in 30 days you don't see enough value for this to pay for itself, you shouldn't sign up with us. So I'm going to give you the service for free. I'm going to put in, our team will put in all the hours of training and programming, and that's all at my expense, to set you up for success. And if you don't see that in 30 days as valuable, then we're probably not the right fit anyway. So there have been almost every client we've done has come on and stayed on. We've only lost two in the last year, and both the two that we lost, one of them never did his setup. And the other one, within the first 30 days, RAI set the appointments and he didn't ever log into the system to do anything. And we're like, we set you 15 appointments, buddy. You never logged in to do a thing. And the guy's like, well, I don't think I want to continue. We're like, okay. Like, thank you for the opportunity, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So for us, it's quick to get up and running. But I'll say this, David, like, just like anything, if you you can't manage what you don't measure. And so if I would encourage folks, usually the reason we go for AI is we go, I've got to get my hands off. I'm too darn busy. And that's a good reason. But you still have to give it a little attention to make sure it's doing what you want. And so I would tell anyone who's considering AI, if you're not willing to at least spend an hour a week looking over your business, you should probably go to work for someone else, number one, because you're not wired to be an entrepreneur. But number two, if you don't care enough about your business to at least invest an hour and putting your eyes on it, you've got other things to learn that are more important. And I say that as someone who has owned, sold, and failed at multiple businesses in the last 30 years. I've sold multiple companies. I've owned multiple companies. And I've lost a couple companies due to getting ahead of ourselves and taking risks we shouldn't have taken. So AI is a great tool, but that's the thing people have to understand is the word tool, because that's what it is, a tool in the toolbox.
Yes. Seems like we could talk a long time about this. You've said so much in this past little bit, but our time is kind of drawn to a close. Question for you, if you could summarize and boil all this down to one thing, what would you challenge our audience today concerning AI that they could take action on?
The biggest thing I would say is just get started with learning. And so my recommendation, my challenge would be go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store and download ChatGPT. This is the tricky part. Make sure it is the ChatGPT app from OpenAI. They're the creators of it. A lot of people, they have things powered by ChatGPT. They're taking your data. You don't want to do that. So look for the one by OpenAI. ChatGPT, and start with the free version, and you can play with it all you want. And here are things if you're trying to foray into AI. Start by just having a conversation with it. Click the voice thing and start talking. Hey, I'm new to AI. Where should I start? And it will talk to you. And when I say talk, I mean literally talk. It will speak back and forth. But the challenge is just get your toes in the water and try it. And here's the thing too, we love serving businesses, and this is something I love that I get to be on your show when I say this, because we haven't publicly announced this to anyone, but because we're planting a church, we were in Orlando last week at Church Plant 101 thing, and with about 25 other church planters, and the number one thing I heard all of them struggling with is, we're trying to get a church off the ground, and software to manage a church is ungodly expensive. It all says it's free or cheap at first, but yeah, if you only have 10 people in the church. As soon as they start scaling, these are $1,000 a month programs. So my wife and I decided we want to be a blessing to church planners. So, and churches, period, because we think sharing the gospel is important. And so they need a way to do that in a digital age. So our tool that most clients is $1,500 a month tool for our automotive clients and bigger things like that. To get access to this platform, because we take our AI and we layer it over the high-level CRM platform. Mm-hmm. Churches, our goal is to average this at $97 a month. That's it for them. But if they can't afford it, we'll just gift it to them for free. So we're literally rolling this out at Easter, absolutely to churches to go, pay what you can, and you can have access to the platform. If you've got an abundance of resources, please be generous so that you can scholarship churches that don't have it.
Sure.
So that's our future of what we're doing with the platform. Yes, we still take on business clients, but we want a new church to be able to come and get it for $1. If they don't have any resources, we know if you don't put anything into the game, like no skin in the game, we're going to spend hours setting you up and you're not going to use it. So it's like, you at least have to donate $1. But if you donate $1, you don't ever have to donate again if your church can't afford anything. Like you got the rest of your life for nothing. But yeah, there you go. There's the challenge. Get started with AI, try it out. And if you know somebody who needs some help with it, man, we love helping people. Obviously, there's only 24 hours in a day, so we can't do everything pro bono for everybody. But
yeah,
feel free to tell your listeners, man, if they've got questions and they want to reach out, they are always welcome to. And we love the opportunity to help. And if they just want to play with it and see what it can do, our website is just loaded with do-it-yourself demos where they can talk to AI or they can text back and forth with it. Doesn't cost them a thing to play with. So they can head right over to our site and do that.
Very neat. Hey, that's great, Matt. And Matt, thank you so much for your time, encouragements today. And next step for you guys who are listeners to be doers, not hearers, is to click on the show notes because there's going to be links and sites to get more information from Matt and his AI model. And to sign up for the newsletter because it's a great way to communicate and not miss out on future episodes. And if you're a perfectionist like me and habitually get caught in the trap of indecision, book a call and get unstuck and move forward in your business from a biblical foundation. And friends, that's all for now. Trust you've been inspired to redeem your business, redeem your time, and buy back, walk worthy of God's great name. Bye for now.